In October 2008, the United Kingdom, the British government, published a report, and the report was called The Foresight Project on Mental Capital and Well-Being. It identified five simple steps on how one can improve their mental well-being. Those five simple actions are easily applied to our spiritual well-being as well. Applied spiritually, they will improve both your spiritual and mental activity in service to God. So in the lesson this morning, I want us to review these five simple steps to mental well-being and see how they can be applied to one's spiritual well-being. The first step suggested by Foresight is to connect. They state that in regards to mental well-being, you have to connect to the people around you. You have to connect with family and friends and colleagues and neighbors at home, work, and in your local community. Social relationships are critical to our well-being. In regard to spiritual well-being, we understand that our relationships are critical also. We must have the proper relationship with God and the proper relationship with other Christians. Jesus died to reconcile us to God and to one another. Read with me, if you will, please, from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning with verse 18. Reading from the New King James Version. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Reconciliation indicates that the conciliation we once had has been broken. And we are reconciling or reconciliating with God, coming back to God. In Ephesians chapter 4, looking at Ephesians chapter 2, looking at verse 14. I got the 4 out of place there. 2 and verse 14, Ephesians 2, 14, reading New King James Version, it says in the text, for he himself, that is Christ, is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition or separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. You see, in Christ, there is not only reconciliation with God, but there's reconciliation with one another. Jews and Gentiles were separated. They were at odds with one another. But through Christ, they are reconciled to one another, and both of them reconciled unto God, the enmity having been taken out of the way. Christ and the local church are the means by which we can connect, as they say. In Hebrews chapter 19, and that's not 19, that's 10. I'm going to have to put my glasses on, I think. But Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19 on down through verse 25. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. If we focus on establishing connections related to our spiritual well-being, those connections will be very obviously conducive to our mental well-being as well. Both go hand in hand. But the second step suggested by the Foresight Project was to be active. In regards to mental well-being, exercise has been shown to improve mood and has been used successfully to reduce depression and anxiety. We all know that. We are admonished to participate regularly in a physical activity that we enjoy and one that suits our level of mobility and fitness. Now, how do we apply this to spiritual well-being? Well, our spiritual activity is critical as well. No doubt about it. Notice the Bible tells us that in James chapter 2, verse 17, that faith without works is dead. In fact, James says, faith by itself, if it have not works, is dead. In James 2 and verse 20, but do you know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? I guess James didn't think saying it once was enough. He didn't think saying it once was enough. He emphasized that point. But he went on in verse 24 of chapter 2 and said, you see, a man is justified by works and not by faith only. And then down in verse 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so is faith without works. We have to be active. We have to be active. Otherwise, we will be, what? Dead. Dead spiritually. Fact is, you know, in reality, we were created in Christ Jesus for good works. When we are born into Christ, united with Christ in the waters of baptism, we are united for a purpose. We come to life in Christ for a purpose. And Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, and I want to begin at verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for... No, that's not Ephesians. What am I doing? Ephesians 2 and 10. Yeah, that's right. I thought I had the wrong passage. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared before him that we should walk in them. What does this mean? It means that before the world began, God had determined that those who are part of his body, his son's body, which he was going to give for their sins, would be created for good works. That's what they live for. That's what they live for. In Titus 2, down verse 11, Titus 2 and 11, Paul says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Now, of course, that is Jesus. Jesus, when he came to this earth and appeared to all men, he has brought salvation to us, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed, now I want you to catch this, and purify for himself his own special people, what? Zealous of good works. That's what we live for. That's what we live for. In Titus 3, beginning with verse 1, Paul says, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready, what? For every good work. Every good work. Titus 3 and verse 8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. Finally, in Titus 3 verse 14, let our people also learn to maintain, that you got it, good works, to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful. Involvement in the work of the local church provides plenty of opportunity to be active. Plenty of opportunity. Just as physical help, excuse me, this week took its toll on me, I'm afraid. There we go. Recoup. Just as physical activity helps maintain mental well-being, so spiritual activity helps to maintain spiritual well-being. In the church, by the way, Paul in 1 Timothy 4 and 8 talks about bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having the promise of the life that now is and of that that is to come. So we can see that bodily exercise has its place, but exercise in godliness, that's what we need to be concerned about. But we got to get back to our point here. What's the next thing? Oh, take notice. Well, with regard to mental well-being, they tell us practicing mindful awareness of sensations, thoughts, and feelings can improve both the knowledge we have about ourselves and our mental well-being. Reflecting on our experiences and things that we are grateful for helps us to appreciate what matters to us. In regards to spiritual well-being, well, let's see how this applies. Awareness of our spiritual circumstance is very important to us. Where we stand with God makes a difference. It's not something we take lightly. Where do we stand with God? We need to also be aware of the dangers that we face and sometimes that are right in front of us. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12, therefore let him who thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. We have to always be on guard, protect ourselves against dangers. We also must be aware of the blessings which God provides for us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 13, one of the blessings that God provides for us, he says, no temptation has befallen you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. I want you to look at that. you are able. But with the temptation, he will make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Now, this is a promise that God gives us. No matter what temptation may face you in this life, God gives you a way of escape. There's no, well, the devil made me do it. I was thinking about that this morning in class 7. The devil made me do it. No, the devil didn't make you do it. He didn't make you do anything that you didn't want to do. You always have a way of escape. Sometimes it's just the word no. Just the word no. But you always have a way of escape. But you have this promise, and you can rest assured that God is faithful. Also, we note that mutual edification with other Christians helps us to remain aware. To remain aware. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 3 and verse 12. Hebrews 3 and verse 12. Paul, in this book, says, you need to beware, brethren, lest there be in any one of you, now notice he's talking to Christians, and he says, lest there be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. What? Christians? He's writing Christians? Well, yeah, because they can be guilty of having an evil heart of unbelief. Well, what is the solution? Exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any one of you, now let's see what it is that causes you to have an evil heart of unbelief, lest any one of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. What's he saying here? Sin is deceitful. Sin comes on just as innocent as it can possibly be. And you can think of every reason in the world why you ought to participate in it. Because it looks so good. Well, what is it? It's deceitful. And what can it do? It can harden us. Pretty soon, that guilty feeling we've been having goes away. And it doesn't bother us anymore. Why? You've been hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And the deeper you go, the more hardened you become. That's why the warning. Why is it that we should not allow ourselves to be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin? Well, here's the reason, verse 14. For we have become partakers of Christ. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Just because we once became partakers of Christ doesn't mean we're always going to be. We have to put forth an effort to maintain that relationship. If it should become evident that we, or it should be evident that we see our relationships with other Christians within the context of the local congregation is conducive both to spiritual and mental well-being. But actually, the same is true with step 4. Keep on learning. Now, with regard to mental well-being, the study said, learning encourages social interaction and increases self-esteem and feelings of competency. We can all relate to that. Striving towards personal goals that reflect deeply held values rather than being driven by external rewards is more likely to produce a lasting sense of satisfaction. You can see so much wisdom in this. It's really amazing. Really amazing. Well, let's look at this in regard to spiritual well-being. In regard to spiritual well-being. Well, learning right away comes to my mind in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. We're told to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Certainly, there's a need for growth, and it requires learning, constantly learning more about Jesus. Well, in reality, isn't this the primary function of the local church? Isn't the primary function of the local church edification? Look at Ephesians 4, beginning at verse 11. He gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, the work of ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. From whom, that is from Christ the head, the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Through sermons, Bible studies, what are we doing? Continually growing. Continually growing. It's a process that never stops. It never stops. Involvement with the local congregation helps both mental and spiritual well-being, the latter of which, of course, is more important. But finally, and we got time, we're going to look at the last step, number five, that is give. But that one caught you off guard. Give. Okay. In regard to mental well-being, we are urged to practice random acts of kindness. You've seen stickers, haven't you? Practice random acts of kindness. Thanking someone, smiling, volunteering your time, getting involved with the local community. You know, the times that I don't feel like walking because my foot hurts so bad, I sit in a cart, and I'm always at a disadvantage because everybody's up here and I'm down here. And, of course, with the neck problem I have, But I always make it a point to smile at everybody that I meet. And, you know, some people, you smile at them, and they look at you like, what's wrong with you? Sometimes they look at you and they're all grumpy and then they smile. Oh, smile. But that's something you can do that doesn't cost you anything. It might change somebody's day. You don't ever know. You don't ever know. Individuals actively engaged in their communities, listen to this, report higher levels of well-being. That's right. Higher levels of well-being. Now, let's look. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't put that up yet. Let's look at the spiritual well-being. Jesus taught that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Notice it in Acts 20 and down at verse 35. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. In fact, Jesus taught that when we give, we are blessed in return. Look at Luke chapter 6 and verse 38 and listen to these words. Luke 6 and verse 38. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put in your bosom. For with what the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Well, that's right. That's exactly right. Now, in the local church, we can give our time. We can give our service, whatever we are able to do. We can give our money. All of these things we can do. And certainly this contributes to spiritual well-being. No doubt. Connect, be active, take notice, keep learning, and give. Mental well-being. This is the secret right here, according to the study. This is the secret. Now, this morning, I have sought to illustrate that these 5 points can help us in our spiritual quest for well-being as well. When we apply them properly to our involvement within the local church, indeed, we can experience well-being. We need to focus on the application of such things within our lives and follow along with the pattern that's been laid down in the New Testament. Active participation in the local church is more important than what you might think. When it comes to both spiritual and mental well-being, it plays a key role.